Thank you, Danny. It's always interesting to talk to you as well. Judith and me, we have been here since 1983, a very long time ago. And when we came here in Israel, we said we are going to stay at least 1 year and at most the rest of our life, but probably something in between. And this we still say today. Now, Judith has had several jobs, mainly in psychiatric care. She learned a lot there, which can be very helpful in daily life, and also in Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum. And she works there right now in the information department of Yad Vashem. So if you give a call to Yad Vashem, you might get her on the line. And then you can choose from several languages. It has not been easy in Israel, not at all. In my job, I have seen a lot of suffering. Victims of terrorism and war damage, but also very violent and cruel behavior of one to another. And also, what is also very hard, and this worries me very much, that this is not only happening here, but worldwide, is an increase of expressions of hatred of one group to another. By the way, not only Israel is interesting, and not only the Middle East is interesting, but also the rest of the world is interesting. And I'm trying to follow also what kind of trends we see in the world, what kind of powers we see in international relations, in politics. And right now it is very interesting what's going on. But also in a way, I think, worrying. Now, if I sound too pessimistic, then wait till the end, because the title of the message is Turning the Tide by Focusing on Jesus. So it's about our perspective. Where do we look at? What is important for us? And we have to look at Jesus. Now, I happen to be one of the 8 managers of several Facebook groups. They are all in Dutch. One of them is called Christians in the Netherlands. Now, to be a member of this Facebook group, you have to be a Christian and you have to be in the Netherlands. The idea is that people encourage each other by building up their faith. But it's a huge group of thousands of people, but there were 2 problems lately. There were 2 fights among people, among one group of believers and another group of believers. One fight was the fight between Catholics and Protestants. About 400 years ago, we had a war in the Netherlands between the Protestants and the Catholics. And still, this kind of war is flaring up every now and then. And the second question was, what people were fighting about, who is the Antichrist and his coming world government? Well, I think, personally, that both issues are unnecessary. In the Netherlands, the believers became a minority, and they should not fight each other. They should respect each other. And secondly, there is no world government. Not at all. We are not there. I'm not talking about the future, I'm talking about now, today, 2016. There are, in international politics, there are 2 powers. One power is towards unity, and another power is towards division. And this is what is happening now. This is what is now becoming stronger. Ethnic group is turning against ethnic group. Nation is turning against nation. Tribe against tribe. And most important of all, religion against religion. And nowadays, politicians are on the rise who sharpen the differences, who emphasize the differences between people groups. This is an international phenomenon at the moment. And this is the same as what happened already during the First World War and the Second World War and in between and afterwards. And this has caused a lot of suffering. Now, I think, I'm sure, that whatever we will see of this and whatever happens in our own life, what we need is a very strong contact with God through Jesus. We need it more than ever before. Not only to be a light in the darkness and to show a different spirit, but also to be able to react in a right way when we see suffering in others or in our own lives. I'm going to read from the New International Version, Psalm 22, a part of it. I start, this is a Psalm of David, 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I do find no rest. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Well, what you have to do is read Psalm 22 for yourself. Later, I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but I will continue in verse 18. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of lions. Save me from the horns of wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All your descendants of Jacob, honor him. Refer him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. Now this is a very special psalm, Psalm 22. If you read it completely, from beginning to end, you will see a kind of mood swing. There is a change. The psalm has two parts. The first part is about complaining, lament, and the second part is about thanksgiving. The first part speaks about a silent, a hidden God, and it starts asking questions to God. It says in verse 1, why has you forsaken me? But the second part, the complaints about God have left. The focus is now on God. David, the poet, starts to think and praise. Now, if you look, give a closer look at the first part, you see that it is not completely dark, not at all. David sees God everywhere. He recognizes that he is on the throne. He sees him in the history. In the past, the fathers put the trust in him, and in the past he delivered them. And he has even seen God in his own life. He says in verse 10, "From birth I was cast on you, from my mother's womb, you have been my God." He is seeing God everywhere, except in his own life at this moment. And because he was a child of the covenant, he had high expectations. He thought that good would come to his aid, that things would go more smoothly. But now he feels abandoned. He feels far away from God. And this is a kind of experience that I think many people are familiar with. They have seen the hand of God in their lives. They're not like people who don't believe. He called them, he sent them, he provided. But how many times do we think that sometimes God could care better for us than he does? We are still a little bit disappointed. In order to see a miracle, well, we have to turn on television. Or we have to invite somebody from a faraway nation from the southern hemisphere. Or we have to pick up an old dusty book from the bookshelves about the revivals 100 years ago. We have no problems in seeing God at work everywhere in the world, in other lives, and we are glad about that. But in our own lives, maybe we have our moments of doubt, of despair, and even depression. We think God is not graceful to us anymore. Maybe I lost the grace of God because of my sin. Maybe I sinned so much that God forgot about me. That is why I have all these problems. Now, it is very, very important here in Psalm 22 that in his misery, he keeps the line with God open. And this is crucial. What do we do in times of suffering? What do we do in times of despair? Do we lose hope or do we continue praying? Yes, or do we even maybe ask God our difficult questions? David keeps the line to God open. Now we have often heard here about, that's very important indeed, it is important to forgive other people. And throughout the years, the list becomes longer and longer. And finally, it becomes a heavy burden if you don't learn to forgive others. But some people have also a little bit, it's almost forbidden to say, but have a kind of hard time forgiving God. They are disappointed in him. They expected him to do better in their life. And some of them are even angry with God. I know some people who are very angry with God, and they say, "I don't believe in God." They are angry on the God that doesn't exist. So this is a reason that people can turn away from God. Now, you see what the difference is. The difference with David is he keeps the communication open, but here we see people who are turning away from him. But the Bible says very clearly that we don't understand everything that happens to us in our lives. We see it in the book of Job. There are some experiences, even long-time experiences, that remain, the reason remains hidden to us. And this is, of course, the crucial question. How are we going to react? Now another reason that people turning away from God is just the opposite. Not the suffering and not the disappointment. And this is happening a lot in the West, or this has happened a lot in the West. It is that things are going well. Things are going very well, at least for a certain time. People don't need God anymore. And they break the line of communications simply because there is no need for it. In the long run, the Bible becomes a book of mythology. The faith of God in Israel is on the same level as Islam or Buddhism. A couple of days ago, I read somebody on Twitter. He was discussing the wave of violence in Europe. And he said, it's time to cease with religion. Not only with Islam, but also with Christianity. Here, God is disappearing from societies. He is disappearing from villages, from towns and from cities. This is happening literally in Europe. Churches are being closed. Now, Western theologians and philosophers, they have spoken about the so-called eclipse of God, or the hiddenness of God. People are not able to see him anymore. It is like, even one said, God is dead. It is not that God is literally dead, but there is no link, no line anymore. He's totally hidden. Now, I think this term, eclipse of God, is totally misleading. Because an eclipse just happens. Like last year, with the moon, the red moon. You stand up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you make some pictures. It is just happening. You can't do anything about it. If you don't agree, it's still happening. But this kind of eclipse, the eclipse of God, is made by man. It is man that turned away from him. They stopped seeking him. And they created barriers. And in such case, if this happens on a big scale, over the years in the Western world, over a couple of generations, people should not be surprised that God is disappearing from societies. And you see the results. People are becoming desperate. If you see it in literature, you see it in the arts, you see it everywhere. But you also see it. You see it also a new phenomenon that young people, 20 years old, their parents or their grandparents, they left the church. They didn't need God anymore. And they are going to look for something that is worthwhile to live for and to die for. Okay. And then, you know, they come to faith in Islam. Not all of them, of course. It's a minority only. Also, many find the Lord. But this is happening. Now we see here in the eclipse of God is misleading, because also it is always possible to return. I'm sure this is the case as well for Western societies. The road is always open to repent and turn back to God. He is there to receive individuals, groups, and nations. Now we are turning back to Psalm 22. We see here also a change. There is a first part and a second part. But there's also a part in between. In verse 19 he says, but you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. And now immediately a change can be seen in David. The focus has changed. He turns away from looking at himself and his circumstances, and now he is starting to focus on God. He turns to God first by prayer and then through worship. In the beginning, in verse 6 to 8, for instance, we see him in an abject state, rejected by man. But now in the second part, he starts declaring his name. Now it remains unclear about how such a long period of time we are talking. It is unclear whether he had to cry a long time to God before he felt an uplifting of his soul. It also remains unclear in how far all his problems were solved. But it is very clear that his perspective is changing. He starts focusing on God, declaring his name. And now God is starting to bless him by not hiding his face. He is faithful to his promise. He encourages the believers who trust in him. He will never hide his face for his children completely who turn to him. He will rescue those who trust him. Now in verse 24, David comes to two important conclusions. First of all, the Lord does not despise or disdain the suffering. Let me give you an example. Yes, I almost don't dare to say it here, but still I do. I hope you will forgive me. For instance, if you look at Al Jazeera, yes? And it doesn't matter. You can look next week on 7 o'clock, or at 10 o'clock, or at 8 o'clock. It doesn't matter. You will see tremendous human suffering everywhere in the world. Bomb here, bomb there. Polluted water there. Corrupt politicians there. Everywhere in the world. There is a lot of suffering. And it can be so much that we really close our hearts for it. But God does not despise or disdain the suffering. And the second conclusion that David comes to is he has not hidden his face. He is not hidden his face. I think the idea of the eclipse of God in the Western world is happening in a time when just the opposite is taking place. The opposite is taking place. We see God at work in the world. We see it in, for instance, that God is faithful to his promise to the Jewish people, that they are turning back here. We see it in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit worldwide. We see it in the revival worldwide, especially in the Southern Hemisphere. We see it everywhere. We see just the opposite. The opposite we see happening. But even in times when it is hard to see him, he is there. He is always there. He is there for the despised in the world and for those who don't see his face at this moment. He is also there for those who lost his faith in him because of their sin, and who lost their faith in themselves because of their sin, and are desperate about themselves, about their sin. He is there for them, special for them. So this is my call, and bring your burden to Jesus. Leave it there. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to show you the way. If you are not sure, then ask others also to pray with you and for you, because he is there. Now, of course, many of you will have noticed that this psalm is also very familiar to what happened to Jesus. Jesus also said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it was because the spirit of prophecy was upon David. So he said certain things that would happen to Jesus. So this is exactly because it happened to Jesus, because it happened to him, because he was separated from God, because he felt left by the Father, that the way is open for us. He took our sin and he opened the way that we could return to him. So the basis for optimism, the basis for changing our perspective and to turning to him by prayer and by worship, the very basis is the suffering of Jesus. Because of his suffering, we can have a different perspective. I think that to conclude with, I think that that God has really plans for Israel, for the Arab world, for our church, and also for our lives, for each of us individually. I believe that he is really, wanting to reveal himself to us. I have such a clear impression on my heart already for a long time that the time of hiddenness is really over. And this psalm gives us at least one hint, one indication how. It is by turning to prayer and turning to worship. It is a time in which God wants to reveal himself in a more powerful way than ever in our lives to ourselves and to us as a community. Because we need it. We need it. We need it for the future. We need it if tensions internationally are rising. We need it if there is an increase of hatred. We need to have a different spirit, a different voice. And also we will, sooner or later, we will have suffering in our own lives. We will see suffering of people very close to us. And we need him. We need to grow very close to him. We have to nurture our relationship with him. This is the message. Let's conclude in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are really the God of the world, the God of Israel, the God of the Middle East. Lord, thank you that you have plans for the people, that you want to reveal yourself to people, for those who don't know you, and also for those who know you, that you will reveal yourself more clear than ever to them. Lord, we ask you to bless us as our church, as our community. We welcome you, we welcome you, we welcome your spirit in our midst, Lord, and we thank you that you will lead us by your Holy Spirit and bless us in the coming week, in Jesus' name. Amen.